Hey, we're going back to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 is where we'll be. As you're turning there, one announcement that I failed to miss. Students, if you're watching or if you're here in the room, you're going to hear this week about an outing coming for our youth. We're going to start doing things again with our students again going forward. And we've got a paintball trip coming up, actually. So you're going to hear about the opportunity to jump in on that one. And you can go out and believe me, I want to be there to shoot all of you with the paintballs. So I have fun with that as well. But we're going to jump in and start to do some things with our students. But students, make sure you're out on Wednesday. Gather around the bonfire with us. It's going to be great. We'd love to have you out. Don't miss that. We'll have a good time as we're there. But we've been hanging out in 2 Timothy for a number of weeks, of course. And I believe this is week 6. We're in chapter 3 now. It's a great little book. And you know, when Paul wrote a letter to the church, he would have written it, or to someone in him, to equip the church, to give them things that they needed. And by spending our time and walking through a whole book, we kind of get a whole broad picture of a lot of different things instead of just staying on one. So it's helping to equip us as the body of Christ. So let me read from 2 Timothy chapter number 3. I'm going to read 10 through 17 today. 2 Timothy 3, 10 through 17. It says this: You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from them all, or from all of them. Before I keep going, just really quick to mention, last Sunday we looked at how Paul in his writing here, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he warned that in the last days there were going to be people who would come and would seek to mislead us and deceive us as believers in Jesus Christ. So he's springing off of that, all right? And that's where we get this, but you, however, and even as the title of our message today is, but as for you. But let me keep going, just noting where we're at, picking up in verse number 12. And how many of you are glad that God's rescued you from everything? Amen? Come on, he's a deliverer. Verse 12. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. How many of you want to take that out of the Bible? Boy, come on. That's the word of God though, right? The word of God says, everyone who wants to live a godly life will be persecuted. And all the church said, oh no, we don't put that one in our Bible promise boxes. Verse 13, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God, and of course, when it says man, it means all of us. He's talking about people when he says that. The people of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Praise God for his word. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We know that when that verse says all Scripture, it includes these verses that we've looked at today. So we pray, God, that you would use them to equip us as your church. Here in this room and at home, Lord God, may your word, Lord God, penetrate our hearts. May it mold us and shape us into who you would have us to be. And I pray that as we get a hold of this call, Lord God, where you inspired Paul to tell Timothy that he wasn't like those who would be out there in the last day, that you'd help us to take that to heart and apply it in our lives as well. We pray it in the name of Jesus. And church, whether in the room or at home, if you would pray this with me, pray, Father, here I am. Speak to my heart through the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. There's a contrast. But as for you, he says in the text today, there's a contrast that takes place. Now, I often recall, and I think I may have even shared it along the way, the first time that I ever took my son to a professional football game. Now, when I say that, of course, I know we come from around the world, but this is American football. And when I took my son to his very first NFL game, I tried very difficult when I raised my son to brainwash them into being Seattle Seahawks fans. It worked when they were very small. but they grew up in New York, so along the way they jumped ship on me and they started rooting for other teams, and this one son became a Jets fan, the poor kid. He was a tragic mistake on his end, but he chose to root for the Jets and still does to this day. He could have been a Seahawks fan, but anyway, so I took him to see a Jets game, and we were there to see the Jets play the Dolphins, and we left straight from church, and we drove to the stadium. It wasn't that far away, and we got there, and before we got out of the car to go in, he was just a little boy. I still remember turning to Nathaniel and saying to him, "Nathaniel, before we go in, you need to know that we're going to be sitting in the drunk people section." And I really said this to my son, because I knew my seats were up high, and I had been to a sporting event before, and he had not been. And I knew that the environment would be that guys would be drinking, and there could be language that is foul, and all kinds of stuff could go on in that setting. And I said to him, "You know, you'll hear people talk in ways that we don't talk, and they might act in ways we don't act, but that's okay. We're different, and we're just here to watch the game, and we're who we are, and to be in this place." So he caught that. It was a "but as for you" moment. You came home from school when you were a kid, and you asked your mom if you could get a particular album, if you could see a certain movie, if you could watch a certain TV show, if you could dress a certain way, and your mom said, "No, you can't do that." And you said, "But Mom, everybody's doing that. Everybody dresses this way. Everybody listens to this. Everybody watches this." And your mom said to you, "If everybody jumped off..." Come on, help me out. Talk to me if you're in the room. "If everybody jumped off a bridge, would you jump off a bridge? But as for you," Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, "everyone is bowing down when the music plays. Why are you still standing?" It's a "but as for you." Ruth, "Go back home where you came from. Go fit in with them. But as for you." Esther, "Just stay quiet and enjoy your nice life. But as for you." Somebody say, "As for me." Timothy, Paul says, Timothy, that's who he's writing to. "Evildoers are going to go from bad to worse in the last days, but as for you," is what he's writing here. "You're going to be different. You're going to be different." Jesus was preparing his disciples for life without him. He was letting them know that things would be what things would be like as citizens of the kingdom of God living here on this earth. Come on, we're citizens of the kingdom. Amen. Remember that. Remember that. Man, you need to remember that in election season more than you remember at any other time. You're citizens of the kingdom of God before anything else. First and foremost is who we are. Remember where your citizenship is. But Jesus, in teaching that on them in John 15:19, he says this. He says, "If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of this world. That is why the world hates you." Jesus is teaching that. You're different. "But as for you," we find these words when Peter wrote to the church in 1 Peter chapter 2 also. I'm going to read you 9 through 12. He says, "But you are not like that." There's a contrast. "For you are a chosen people." Come on. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. "As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. Dear friends, I warn you, as temporary residents and foreigners, to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then, even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. But as for you." It is a constant theme throughout the Bible and especially throughout the New Testament. Timothy, it's going to get tough in the end, Paul says, when the world goes from being evil to even more evil. But when things go from bad to worse, what's our reaction to be? That's what he's talking about. When things look like they're just going downhill, what's our response as the children of God? First thing I want you to catch today is the response is to keep going. To keep going. He says in there, continue in verse number 14. If you're sitting by somebody you came to church with, tell them you got to keep going. Now, I don't know who Pinky Seth Hlazo is. If you do, you can tell me after church. But this is a quote that I found one time along the way, and I can't even find this person online, and I just like the quote. So if Pinky Seth Hlazo is a terrible person, may the mercy of God fall on them and they come to know Jesus. But this is a great quote, and I'm just mentioning under the RSA. It says this, when everyone is sitting, stand up. When everyone is standing, stand out. And when everyone is standing out, be the standard. Come on, that's a great quote there. Keep going. Don't be like everyone else who is around you. There was a woman that no one here would ever know who was a great woman of God in the church. And we knew her for many years. And her name was Fanny Pavese. She went home to be with Jesus just about a year and a half or 2 years ago. And she was about 103 years old at that time. Fanny Pavese drove herself to church every Sunday well into her upper 90s. Think about that. It was amazing even to see, loved Jesus and was a part of the church that we were in Yonkers for many years. And Fanny Pavese sat and told me the story of something that had happened in her church, a church that we would become a part of as well, where at one time, she had been in that church for decades, many, many decades. And she says, at one time, the church just began to dwindle down and people had left and new people weren't coming. And she said, we got down to where there were only 13 people left coming to church each Sunday. There were 13 people. That was it. And what happened is, it was an Assembly of God church as well, and the district, the network came in because they become such a small group to say, hey, we're going to have to close this church. It's too small. You can't really get a pastor for 13 people. You can't meet your financial obligations on your building. The building needs to be sold. We'll have to do something different. And they pled with them. Please don't close the church. We believe our community needs this church. Our neighborhood needs this church. We'll be faithful. We're committed to it. And they managed to prevail. And those who had authority over them said, okay, you know what? We're not going to close it. We'll give it a shot and try something different, and we'll keep going. My wife and I ended up moving there way back in 1994 when I went to pastor that church. And when I got there, it had already grown from that time. But I'll tell you, over the years we were in Yonkers, I personally baptized over 500 people in water over my years there. We gave away over $1 million to foreign missionaries over our years there around the world. But you know what? That didn't happen because I was there. That happened because folks like Fanny Pavese kept going. They didn't quit. When things got tough, they just kept on and continued to walk with God and serve God no matter what came their way. Believers keep going, praise God. Paul wrote these words from a prison dungeon awaiting his execution. There was no one left with him. He had been transported to Rome for his final trial for preaching the gospel. If anyone knew about not quitting, Paul knew. And he had written earlier, as we saw just a couple of Sundays ago in this letter to Timothy, he said, endure hardship like a good soldier. Timothy, keep going. Church, we live in an unprecedented day of uncertainty. The state of the nation is volatile. Things in many ways are uncertain. Even church is different than we've ever known it to be. Most are watching from home today. The call to Timothy is still God's call to the followers of Jesus Christ. Continue. Keep going. Keep going. Don't quit. Share the faith. Stand firm. Keep the faith. We are the children of the Most High God. Come on, somebody give me an amen. But as for you, he says, continue, keep going. And then, but as for you, keep growing. Keep growing is his other call to Timothy. Healthy things grow. Healthy things grow. Healthy puppies grow into mature dogs. Healthy kittens grow into mature cats. Healthy saplings grow into mature trees. Healthy children grow into mature adults. Healthy things grow. Healthy Christians grow into mature Bible-believing Christians who are strong in the Lord. Healthy things grow. Keep growing is the call. Paul says, Timothy, those who do evil are going to go from bad to worse in the last days. But as for you, you're going to keep learning, he says. He says, you're going to keep being trained, he says. Training, he refers to. He says, you're going to keep being equipped. When the world goes from bad to worse, you know what we do? We go from good to better. Hello. That's what he says. When the world sinks lower, We rise higher. Come on, that's what he says. It's not a matter of where we're a little better than the world, if you will, and when the world goes down, we go down with them, and we just stay a little better than they are. No. As the world degenerates and becomes more evil, we become more the righteousness of God. Hello. We keep growing is what we do. When we see unrighteousness prevailing, we seek the kingdom of God and its righteousness. How do we do that? It's nothing complicated. It's right there in our text. It was in verse number 16. All scripture. Come on, somebody say all. All scripture. When things go down, we go up and we do it with the word of God. It's what we're doing right now. We're considering God's word. It's God's word that tells us that when things go from bad to worse, we have to continue and to learn and to be trained and to be equipped. It's God's word, but not just 2 Timothy. We're hanging out here these weeks. It's a great little book, but Paul didn't say 2 Timothy. He said all scripture. The word of God is what equips us in this day. Psalm 119 gives us some powerful, well-known passages about the scriptures. One of them is Psalm 119, 105. And it's known to so many of us. It says, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Leave that on the screen in the room for a little bit and online. I have a dog that is afraid of the dark. I am not making that up. I personally have a dog who is afraid of the dark. I take my dog out at night to walk him for his last walk of the day. It's usually 9:30 at night. I put the leash on him. We come out. There's a light over the carport that he walks into. But as we go to step out into the darkness, almost every single night, my dog becomes like a sack of flour. I mean, he just freezes. His feet freeze. He tenses up. Now, he doesn't do this during the day. He does this once it's dark. My dog is afraid of the dark. He is like the most wimp of a dog you've ever seen. I'm ashamed of him. I shouldn't even be telling this about him. But anyway, it's embarrassing to be quite honest. So anyway, my dog is afraid of the dark. And I have to literally physically lock the leash. And when I say I drag him sometimes, I mean like he, you know how the dogs have their nails. You'll hear them on the pavement of the driveway. Sliding where he won't move his legs and walk because he doesn't want to go out in the dark. So what I have to do with him, as I have learned, is I take out my cell phone and I turn on the light. Of course, it's light in here now, so you can't do it good. And I shine the light right in front of my dog. And I bring him out and I'm like, come on, come on. And we walk along and the neighbors, I don't know, maybe they're looking out the window saying, what in the world is that? The guy has the most terrible. I think all the neighbors talk about my dog. I don't know. So anyway, and I walk along, and I'm not making this up. I walk along around the block. We get to a street light. I don't have to do it. But whenever it's dark, he'll walk through the street light. I put the light right in front of him again, and then he'll just walk right along, and he looks right there, because then he can see, and he can see the light. It lights his path is what it does. That's what Psalm 119 is saying. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Mr. Fox, which is my dog's name, he don't want to walk unless he can see where he's going is the thing. He wants to know what's there before he steps out. Sarai's saying something. She likes to take up for the dog, but trust me, yeah, he's a worthless dog. He's of no value. So she said he's a city dog. He really is. He's an urban dog through and through. He's like scared of animal noises and everything. But anyway, let the fire engines go off and trucks, he's fine. But anything else scares him. So anyway, but what happens with us is it's the word of God that does that. It's the word of God that shows us our path. It's the Bible that directs us in where to step as we go forward. Psalm 119 also says this in verse number 11. It says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You see, if God's word is in my heart, then when I'm faced with a situation where I don't know what to do, my path is illuminated through the word of God. Come on. You can be in the workplace. You can be in the classroom. And I know classroom is very different in this day for our students. You can be in any situation you're in. But when you're in a situation where you're not sure what's next, God's word lights your path and shows you what to do next. It illuminates the way, praise God. We can apply it in our lives once it's in our heart. Make sure you are in the word of God. I want to read you something from Ephesians chapter number 2. This is not going to be on a screen. You can put keep growing back up on the screen if you would. This is not going to be on the screen. I just want you to listen to this good. Just listen to this good. If you think the person sitting close to you isn't listening good, just pinch them or something or poke them in the ear. But I want you to listen to this really good. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, it says this. then we will no longer be immature like children. Now, let me say this before I keep reading. This is a passage that is talking about our being taught the Word of God. Just before this verse, it has talked about how God has given pastors and teachers, apostles, prophets, evangelists, given to teach the church. So once we're taught the Word of God, he's saying this, once we've been taught God's Word, it's Ephesians 2, 14 and 15. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church, praise God. It is the Word of God that does this for us. Come on, if you're near somebody, tell them you need to grow up. You need to grow up is what he says. Keep growing, but as for you, keep growing. And then there's another thing he says, Timothy, but as for you, keep glowing. Keep glowing. The passage says in verse number 17 that God's word will equip us for every good work. When Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount, he sat down and he taught the crowd, and he taught the crowd that had gathered around them. And in teaching them, he taught them that you don't light a candle and put it under a bushel or a bowl. Of course you wouldn't. Why would you do that? He said, can you imagine if you were at home and it was dark and the power was out, so you went and got a flashlight and you turned it on, and then you put it in the room you weren't in and closed the door. Well, what good would that do you? It would do you no good to hide the light. It wouldn't even make any sense. That's what he's talking about. Why would you do that to light? He said you can't hide a city on a hill. Even at night, everybody sees it because it's lit up. And when Jesus said you wouldn't hide a candle, you can't hide a city on the hill, in Matthew 5:16, he then said this, in the same way, just as you can't hide those lights, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Matthew 5:16. My brothers and sisters, you weren't made to be hidden. You weren't created to blend in. You weren't formed in your mother's womb with a plan to hide you. That was never God's plan. You weren't redeemed to be put away. You weren't bought with a price to be tucked away in a corner. God made you to shine. That's your purpose. That's why we exist. God made you to glow. God, Jesus referred to us as the light of the world. Keep glowing. Give off light. The world loves conformity. Just go with the crowd. Fit in. Don't stand out. But that's not you. You were created uniquely. You were created with purpose. And how you shine will be different than how I shine. Everybody will be different. We all have different gifts. We have different talents. We have different abilities. I have a good friend that went to school with years ago, and not that many years ago because I'm not that old. But anyway, I have this friend that I went to school with, and he makes beds for low-income families as a ministry that he runs. I mean, he's good with wood. So you would say makes beds. That's what he does for families that don't have beds for their children. I mean, and this is right here in the United States. This is not international. This is right in New England. For families whose income is low enough that they've got kids who are just maybe sleeping on a mattress on the floor or whatever, he comes in, they set up a nice homemade wood bed frame. They're beautiful. Set the mattress up. The kids don't sleep on wood. They put a mattress on as well. There's bunk beds. There's twin beds. They make beds with the scrap wood, with the leftover wood. They make wooden toys that they give out to kids at Christmas time. You want to know how he glows, how George shines? By making beds. I don't shine like George shines. I don't know how to make beds. That's not what I do. You do you. Come on. You glow the way God created you, with your gifts, with your talents, with your abilities, with who you are. But all of us were created to be the light of the world, to demonstrate God's love to those around us, to shine in our lives. The world, Paul says, is going to go from bad to worse. But us, we shine. We show love. We show mercy. We show kindness. We demonstrate the love of Christ with acts of compassion. And although it will get tough in the end, as we've seen in this book, and we see that around us, might not always be easy, the response as a church is what? It's keep going. Keep going. Don't quit. When the world gets bad and things get more and more worse around us, come on, we don't know what the future holds. The next 10, 20 years, I don't know what life will be like. You don't know either. But we know prophetically that things go from bad to worse. When they do, what do? Come on, we keep going. What do when we see the world get worse around us? We keep growing. We stay in God's word. We continue to be equipped and trained to live for him. What do when we see things go from bad to worse? We keep glowing. We shine brightly to those around us. We remember that we're citizens of the kingdom of God. We keep on keeping on. Friends, the people around us, they need hope. Our neighbors need hope. Our coworkers, our friends, our family need hope. You think they're going to get hope from CNN and Fox News and whatever else? That's not going to give them what they need. They need Jesus, and who has Jesus is the church. You at home and those of us in this room, we're who keeps going as the light of the world and demonstrate Christ to them in our lives. Amen? But as for you, would you stand with me? Would you stand with me today? If you're at home, I hope you're focused right with me. And worship team, if you would come and join me quickly at this time on the stage. But as for you, somebody say, as for me. Come on. But as for Timothy, Paul writes. He's writing to his son in the faith. His son in the faith. His son that he had helped to help him grow in his walk with God. He writes him Timothy. And remember, he's writing from a jail cell. Everything looks bad. Paul knows he's going to be executed shortly. And he's saying, Timothy, I want you to know it's going to get bad out there along the way. It's going to get bad out there along the way. You're going to see stuff, Timothy. You're going to be like, what in the world is happening to the world? Come on, you ever do watch the news or hear things and think, what in the world is going on? Come on, hello. What in the world is going on? The Bible says it was going to be like that. What in the world? It says that. But as for us, what do? I hear the news report, things are going from bad to worse. What do I say? Oh, forget. No. You know what, God? I'm going to continue in you. I keep going. God, you know what, God? I need a word, God. Let me get in the word of God and get equipped so I know what I need to live in this life. You stay. You stay in God's word. Hallelujah. And then when we head out among those in this world, what do? Come on. We shine. We glow. We're different. We don't fit in. We're different than they are. We continue to live for him. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you, Lord God, for your work of redemption in our lives. I thank you, Lord God, for those in this room and those watching online. God, if there's anybody here or watching who's not in a relationship with you, they've not committed themselves to you, they've not received your grace, the forgiveness of your sins, I pray that you would tug at their hearts right now, Lord God. Tug at their hearts right now, Lord God, and they would enter into a relationship with you as well, that they might know this hope. That they might know this hope. Before I keep praying, if you're watching online and that's you, I want you to message us online. You send a message. It'll come right to me. I'll see it as well. We want to know you want to commit yourself to Jesus Christ so that we can help you in your walk with him. We want to help you along the way. Father, in the name of Jesus, do that draw, we pray. But God, for those of us who are in relationship with you, God, we see it all around us. We see chaos at times in our world. We see conflict and strife and division. We see war and disease, Lord God. We see so much going on around us in our world today. But God, we're yours. We're yours. You bought us with a price. We're a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. We're your chosen people, a chosen generation, Lord God. You called us out of darkness into this marvelous light, Lord God. So God, we will not fear. We will not fear, Lord God. We will not fear if 10,000 fall beside us or at our right. We will not fear, Lord God, for we know that you are with us, Lord God. And we are committed to you. We're going to keep going in you. We're going to continue to grow as believers in Jesus Christ. And we're going to glow. We're going to shine for you. We say yes to you today in the strong name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We love you and we honor you. And we thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, if you're at home, God bless you. You can give him praise. Amen. I want you to live a victorious week in Christ Jesus. We miss you. If you're vulnerable, continue to stay home. I want you guys to sing that. Don't quit playing. I'm ready. If you're vulnerable and you want to stay at home, and you need to stay at home, we understand that completely. We understand that completely. However, if you're out, man, if you're going to restaurants and the grocery store and wherever else, come back to church. Where are you at? Come on back. We're having a great time in the house of the Lord. We want you to come back with us. We got folks all over the place today. We're safe. We're sanitized. We're social distancing. We're doing the mask thing. We're good. But we want you to come back. But God bless you. Live a victorious week in Christ Jesus. Amen. 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 Hey, if you're here, amen. Praise God. They're cutting the transmission for who's at home at this time, but we're still having church. If you need to slip out, you can.